Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You're listening to The Extra Point Show with Sneaky Joe DiBiase on WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, hour number two of the Extra Point Show. Joe DiBiase and Zach Jones hanging out here on WGR. It's slow season. By that, I mean, you know, the Bills are off. They're away. The Sabres have a week until the draft and then 2 weeks until free agency. So they'll get things fired up in the next week. And we'll talk some hockey with Joe Yurden coming up at 11:30. But right now on the Wester Hotline is Garrett Price of Dynasty Nerds, also a contributor at Fantasy Pros as well, at Dynasty Price on Twitter. Garrett, thanks for joining me, man. How are you doing?
Doing great, man. Happy to hop on with you guys today.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. So before we get to some fantasy stuff, I know you obviously, I mean, Dynasty Fantasy, and I saw you tweeting about the running back class for next year the other day. Do you have a reaction to what's happening in college football? I mean, Texas and Oklahoma, we've known for a while, are planning to go to the SEC. But yesterday, like seeing UCLA and USC to the Big Ten, like do you have a reaction to like what's kind of happening with all this conference realignment, like these super conferences that might be being created?
It's fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating what's going on in college football right now, because for a long time it was, you know, all about the geography, and, you know, we would have the SEC, you know, it would be in the South. You had the ACC, which was on the Atlantic coast. You would, like, all of these were by geography. And basically we saw 10, 15 years ago, teams kind of, or conferences start to spread outside of their geography a little bit and bring in some schools that might not have fit. And, you know, like West Virginia going to the Big 12 and different things like that, that were just kind of like a little bit outside of the norm. And now they're just basically throwing all caution to the wind. They don't care how far teams have to travel. They don't care how much logistics sense it makes. It's all about what kind of big time matchups can we get for television. And I think that's honestly what's the most important thing.
Right. So you do like the class, though, for next year? And I'm asking you, someone that, yes, in a couple leagues is multiple first-round picks. You like the running back class next year?
Love the running back class next year. Right now, this is probably the best class that we've seen since the 2020 class, which I know isn't that long ago, but it was a very good class in terms of guys like Jonathan Taylor, J.K. Dobbins, Cam Akers. There are a lot of DeAndre Swift, a lot of really, really talented running backs in that class. I think we're going to see something similar with Bijan Robinson leading the class as just an absolute stud, looking like, you know, the next, you know, Saquon Barkley, which I know isn't like a great thing at the moment, but as a prospect, he looks fantastic. Ezekiel Elliott, different guys like that. I think he's in that type of class.
How about some of the Bills rookies for this year? How did you feel about James Cook as a second-round pick? The way I've always looked at that, though, Garrett, is he was a second-round pick, but the Bills traded down twice, and it was the end of the second round. I almost feel like, in essence, they went, well, we kind of wanted him in the third round anyway, and we don't like anything else here, so, you know, we're almost at the third round. Why don't we just do it? And then he got called a sub-back by the GM compared to J.D. McKissick. So I guess it's kind of a two-part question. One, how much did you like the player and the prospect in James Cook? And two, how do you kind of envision his rookie season going with the Bills?
I was a little surprised that James Cook ended up going there, if I'm being completely honest. And nothing against James Cook. I mean, we're talking about arguably, if not the best receiving back in the class. So there's definitely things that he does really well. But one of the things that I thought, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, you guys watch the Buffalo Bills closer than I do, but from a fantasy perspective, we know how incredible Josh Allen is. And, I mean, he's just absolute monster top quarterback guy. But eventually, you want somebody near the goal line, near the red zone, to be able to take some of that abuse so that way your franchise star quarterback doesn't have to. And so far, Singletary and Moss have been fine, but there were some big, more prototypical backs that I thought would have made a little bit more sense. But it looks like they do want to make sure that they can spread things out. And James Cook is the perfect type of player to be able to do those types of things. We're not just talking about the receiving game from the backfield, but we're also talking about a guy that you could put in the slot and he can make plays and catches there. So for what I think their plan is, I think they got the right guy. I'm just not sure that that would have been my plan personally.
Are you like actively trying to draft either one of the running backs? Like if, are you seeing yourself like kind of, I don't know, are you looking at Singletary and like the middle rounds and be like, ooh, okay. Or are you just kind of avoiding both?
I'm not as in on Singletary. I would take James Cook ahead of Devin Singletary, assuming it's a PPR league, which most leagues you play in nowadays are PPR leagues, and those catches are crazy, crazy valuable. You know, a guy gets four catches. It doesn't even matter how many yards he has. He has four catches. That's as much as 40 rushing yards from a running back. So I think that's the thing that makes James Cook appealing in those PPR leagues is we're looking at guys from the past like Tariq Cohen and Darren Sproles and different players that ended up being really, really valuable for fantasy football purposes, but didn't necessarily have these like huge real-life workloads. You just get so many points from that pass catch.
How about the Bills at receiver? Gabriel Davis, I feel like we have a quota. We talk about him every single day because he's one of the Bills with a very high ceiling. We're just like we're very curious to see what that's going to look like. His ADP, Garrett, like I don't know how closely you follow it or like if you do underdog drafts or whatnot, but I think I saw yesterday wide receiver 23 he's now going as.
Yeah.
I mean, and like I think that's going to go well. I think there's a lot of room for double digit touchdowns and 100 plus targets, but man, the hype, it's almost getting to a point to me where I find myself not wanting to pick him because not because I don't think it's going to work, but you almost got to draft him like the fourth or fifth round.
Yeah, his value is crazy right now, and a lot of that stems from that playoff game, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, dude has four touchdowns in a playoff game. All eyes are on him. The entire world is watching. It's not like a random Week 13 performance. So I think that's what happened here, and that happens often. A guy has a big game and a big playoff situation. You see that, and that's the last thing we remember because that's when the Bills were eliminated too. So that's our final memory of Gabriel Davis as the season ended there. So that's what we're left with. So I think we can be a little bit of prisoners of the moment and say, well, you know, he's going to be a 1A, 1B with Stephon Diggs. And, you know, we saw how many touchdowns he can put up. But when we actually go back to the regular season, he's had two straight seasons of, you know, 500-plus yards and 6 and 7 touchdowns over the two seasons. So it's not like he's had these crazy monster, you know, seasons so far, but he's been really, really solid. So if you're doing best ball, I'm totally fine with Gabriel Davis because I do think there are weeks that he can be a league winner. But if you're doing season-long fantasy, I have a harder time drafting him because I don't know how the consistency is going to be. And that's really tough when you put a guy in your starting lineup and 1 week he gets you, you know, 5 catches for 120 yards and 2 touchdowns. And then the next week he gets you 2 catches for 15 yards and no touchdowns. And I think that could be a little bit of the problem that we have this year with Gabriel Davis.
Garrett Price from Dynasty Nerds on the Wester Hotline. Are you open to Bills' fifth-round pick, Khalil Shakir, having a role and being productive right away?
I'm glad you brought Shakir up because Shakir was one of those deep dart throw guys that I absolutely loved in this class. And if I'm being completely honest, I thought he should have gone a round to a round and a half higher than he actually did. So the Bills actually traded up. You talked about how the Bills were trading back. They traded up in the fifth round to grab Shakir. Right now, the only guy really standing in his way is
Jameson Crowder.
Just brought in Jameson Crowder, and good player, but we know that he has an injury history, and he's getting up there in age. So we could absolutely see a situation where he ends up leapfrogging him and going into a similar role as Cole Beasley. But I think at this point in his career, he's a much better athlete than Cole Beasley was at the point where he was with Buffalo. We're talking about a guy that's at 6 foot, can do some awesome things out after the catch. And when we're talking about spectacular catches, not just, you know, 5 yards slanting upfield, when we're talking about one-handed grabs and some of these fantastic plays, he had some of the most impressive catches out of anyone I saw in this class. I really thought he should have been end of day two, so we're talking late round three, or at the very worst, beginning of the round four. So for the Buffalo Bills to get him in round five, I thought that was amazing value. I don't know how much that will pay off this season necessarily, because we know typically takes rookie receivers a while to get going, unless your name is Justin Jefferson or Jamar Chase. It usually takes you a couple of years to really get acclimated and earn your reps. And so I think it might take him a little bit, but as far as the value there, he was one of my favorite values, and he's one of those guys in Dynasty League that I'm snatching in the fourth round every single time he's available.
Man, that would be a dream. The fourth round is, I think, like, I always see that as being around what his ADP is in rookie drafts, but, like, Garrett, being in Buffalo, we hear this about him a lot. Like, we very rarely bring on anyone that's kind of an expert in the rookie class and doesn't hype up Khalil Shakir. We had Greg Cosell from NFL Films on even, like, a couple of weeks ago, and he's like, oh, I think he's going to be the starting slot receiver by the end of the year. Just, like, we hear tons of hype on it. Right, so I'm in these rookie drafts with mostly guys from here, and he's going like late second round, early third round, and I'm like, I wanted him, but I'm not picking him at 207, you know, to grab him.
Right. So that's a little rich.
Yeah, right.
But I've taken him as early as 303. That's the earliest I've been willing to take him so far.
Okay, that's pretty good too. Garrett Price on the Western Hotline. So some around the league stuff. Did you see the Miles Sanders video from the other day?
I did see the Miles Sanders video, yes.
What did you make of that? Zero touchdowns last year. A lot of the advanced numbers were pretty good, like forced missed tackle rate and whatnot. But everyone seems to be predicting, not everybody, but some people seem to be predicting that the touchdowns will come back to earth. And I'm not so sure, because he only had 3 goal line touches all of last year. So where are you on Miles Sanders, and what did you make of the video the other day where he basically told people, don't draft me?
Yeah, watching the video, he seemed frustrated. Like, he seemed frustrated at his usage. He seemed frustrated at the way he's being deployed. And typically, we've seen Philadelphia be this running back by committee team. It's been that way for a while now. And last year, it was like fantasy whack-a-mole out there. Like, you had no idea which running back was going to get touches that game, which one was going to be in the doghouse. We just really didn't know. He really did seem like a guy that this offseason didn't change anything. You know, you see other guys come in and like, well, I'm excited about how they're going to use me this year, and I'm excited about some of the things I've seen in the offense. And then you get Miles Sanders in here and like, dude, I need more touches. Like, just don't draft me. Like, he seemed like very discouraged about all of it. So as much as I think Miles Sanders is a more talented back than he gets credit for in the general public, it still comes down to, is he going to be used in a way that's going to be fantasy relevant? And it's really hard to predict. So if I'm drafting late and I'm looking at some of those flyer guys where it's like this pick could end up being worth nothing, but I could find a steal that ends up being my RB2 late in the season, I think that guy's Kenneth Gainwell. I really like Kenneth Gainwell coming out of Memphis last year. Really, really productive back as a freshman. Can do things in the receiving game and the rushing game. So I like the kid. I think he's got good ability, and I think he has a shot at some point to be the lead back in Philadelphia, but we'll have to wait and see.
Is there anybody else out of this rookie class where you're like really hyped up, not just for Well, I guess for Dynasty too, but for this season, I had a number four pick in a rookie draft about 3 weeks ago, and I felt like every single day I had a different guy that I liked for it. And usually around there, like you're never gonna get a shot at Breece Hall or whatnot. But this rookie, Is there a guy in this rookie class where you're really hyped for not just the long term but also the short term?
A guy that I really like for short term, there would be two guys that I think could be really interesting short term. The first one is Chris Olave, wide receiver, formerly of Ohio State. He's now with the New Orleans Saints. And they moved heaven and earth to move up to snag him in the NFL draft at 11th or 12th overall. So we know that they are extremely interested in him as a player. Right now, the only two other receivers on this team are the ghosts of Michael Thomas and Jarvis Landry. And as much as those guys have been extremely productive NFL receivers over their careers, we've seen them age. We've seen them be injured. We've seen, like, it's really, really hard to project how they're going to be able to play this year. And for Michael Thomas, even if he will be able to play this year, we think he will, but we still haven't had any signs point to for sure that he's going to be ready to go week one. So I go back to remembering Jameis Winston with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the guy that would throw 30 interceptions, sure, but would also throw 32 touchdown passes at the same time. So he's willing to throw caution to the wind. And for fantasy football purposes, for their receivers, that's a great thing because you know your guy is going to get an opportunity to make a play, and it doesn't negatively affect your wide receivers if Jameis throws an interception or not. So I think he's going to get a lot of opportunities, and I think he'll be able to capitalize on those opportunities as well. The other guy real quickly that I'll mention from the rookie class that I might not have the best long-term outlook, but short-term outlook would be Damian Pierce from the Houston Texans.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, that backfield is anyone's guess. They signed Marlon Mack in the offseason. Rex Burkhead has been there for a while. But I think that he could end up taking that starting role. And I believe it's John McClain, I believe, who is the great writer for the Houston Texans, talked about Pierce potentially being a, you know, 1,000-yard rusher this season. And I think you can get him pretty late in your drafts. And even if we're talking dynasty, he's still going in the second round. Like I said, I don't know that he's going to be the guy that is, you know, a fantastic running back long for his career. But in the short term, I think he could be a very valuable asset.
One other rookie I wanted to ask you about, Tyrion Davis-Price in San Francisco. The Niners' backfield, they always mix it up. Kyle Shanahan always gets a lot out of his running backs, too. I know he'll do a rotation. But I'm just curious why last year, and I'm sure I hear this from a lot of people, so I think I know the answer, but last year the Niners take Trey Sermon, third-round pick out of Ohio State, at running back, and everyone going into the year is like, ooh, Kyle Shanahan, he's never used an asset this high on running back, and the price was crazy. This year, no pun intended, Tyrion Davis-Price out of LSU is a third-round pick, and I feel like the most common reaction I hear, Garrett, is that was really weird, and I'm not going near it. I don't care what draft pick they spent on him.
Hey, you know, Kyle Shanahan is a really tough nut to crack. Like, it's really hard to figure out what his plan for the running back room is. You know, Elijah Mitchell last year, I believe he was a 6th or 7th round draft pick, and ended up being fantastic for him. Most of the running backs that they've used in the past have been undrafted guys, day 3 players. So, yeah, there are a lot of people upset about Trey Sermon. And as an Ohio State fan, it was interesting. I was actually not very high on Trey Sermon. I remember, you know, arguing with some people about this is really kind of all coming off 2 games. So I don't know if they got enamored with, you know, the Big Ten game and then the playoff game, or, you know, what happened there. But it was odd to say the least. But going back to Tyrion Davis-Price, it's kind of odd to me again because I spend, and not that I'm, you know, the end-all, be-all expert. There's plenty of people much smarter, much more intelligent than I am. But I spend a lot of time focusing in on these running backs, watching these running backs for you know, at least a year in advance. And he was a guy that I really didn't even spend a lot of time with because my initial reaction was, he's fine. he'll probably be, you know, a seventh round pick, something like that. I'm not going to spend too much time on his tape. And so going back and watching, my evaluation didn't change much. I think he's a fine player, but I still believe that this is probably going to be Elijah Mitchell's backfield. But with Kyle Shanahan, who knows, man? Who knows?
All right, Garrett Price, follow him on Twitter. I just had it in front of me. At Dynasty Price from Dynasty Nerds, also a contributor at Fantasy Pros. Hey, Garrett, thanks for coming on, man, and hopefully we'll talk again before maybe the start of the season.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Thanks. Garrett Price on the West Hur Hotline. We will take a timeout in just a moment here and get to Joe Yurden, noted jerk on the Sabres, their offseason, the draft, and free agency as well. I do just want to real quick point out that Garrett, as you heard there, big proponent of Khalil Shakir. As many draft film guys are, and I say that very pointed specifically, draft film guys. Every single guy we bring on here that studies the tape from these draft prospects, going back to when the Bills made that selection, any of them not like Khalil Shakir? Any of them? One? Have we heard from one guy that's really turned on that Boise State tape and had flaws in Khalil Shakir's game? No one's really saying, like, oh, he should be a first-round pick, but I'm very curious about how his role evolves as the season goes on and how it will be to start the year. My best prediction would be Crowder starts the season as the Bills' slot receiver, and Isaiah McKenzie is in as a rotation in the slot. And maybe by the end of the year, the same way Gabriel Davis kind of took hold of the number two wide receiver job last season from Emmanuel Sanders, I wonder if by the end of this season, Khalil Shakir is going to be their starting slot receiver. 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll talk some hockey with Joe Yurden when we come back here on the Extra Point Show on WGR. All right, welcome back.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
To the Extra Point Show, Joe DiBiase on WGR. Take you up to 1 o'clock, and then Nate Geary will take over. Show up in the Bulldog this afternoon. I think me and Mike are going to have a fantasy draft of some sort. I can feel it. Middle of the summer. It's a Friday. Nothing else is really going on. What else is going on? The USFL Championship this Sunday. The next thing really that's going to be going on is the NHL Draft. And then NHL Free Agency. Talk more about both of those things. Joe Yurden, the noted jerk, the Maintenance Day podcast, that hockey show as well, joins me on the West Hur Hotline. Joe, how's life?
Life is good, Giuseppe. How's life for you?
Good. It's good. I appreciate you calling me Giuseppe also. I do like being called Giuseppe. the whole entire dad side of my family calls me Giuseppe. Oh, very Italian. Excellent. Very Italian.
I kind of assumed, really.
So before we get into the Sabres, where the state of hockey just seems to be in a pretty good place, doesn't it, Joe? Like scoring being up, the ratings were way up for the finals. I don't know how if you agree with this, but I mean most I think do that. The television partners did a lot better job than what we had before. I don't know. I just feel pretty good about the state of the NHL.
Yeah, it's funny when you have a TV partner that actually actively markets sport,
yeah,
markets games, markets players, goes out of its way to make it a priority as opposed to I don't know, bumping it off air for horse races and whatnot. So yeah, it's a stark change. It's amazing what happens when you have a partner that respects what the game is and actually puts some effort into it. So yeah, sport looks like it's in a good spot right now. I mean, we're talking like what the Caps looking to finally go up in the coming years. So that's good.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the scoring's up. Everybody loves scoring. Everybody, like, they need scoring. We remember the dead puck era. We don't want more of that again. That's keep that dead and buried in the past. So it's comforting to see this. And you know what? Honestly, the talent level right now is better than it's ever been in the NHL, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. So today, as I'm sure you've seen if you've been on Twitter at all this morning, 15-year anniversary of Briere and Drury leaving. It's kind of if you go down memory lane on July 1st, it's usually not the most positive memories. I'll start there. What are your memories of July 1st, 2007, and how the day progressed with Drury and Briere leaving in the same day?
Well, my perspective on it, mind you, I was not in Buffalo at the time, and you know, watching it from the outside, and not, you know, which I guess is good, not being in the immediate blast radius of how insane that all turned out to be. But watching it from beyond, and you know how well Buffalo had done the previous two seasons, and getting as far as they did, and thinking like, well, this has got to be automatic. You got to keep both these guys and keep the good times going, because you've got a good team. You've got a team that's made the Eastern Final 2 years in a row. You know, a team that probably should have went to the Stanley Cup and probably should have won it in 2006. You got to keep that going, right? Like, that's kind of an automatic thing. And you know, to see Briere go to Philly and then Drury to the Rangers, which, you know, I know a lot, at the time there was a lot of talk like, no, Drury, if anybody's going to go, it'll be Drury. But for some reason, that message wasn't around in Buffalo, because Drury was the guy they ultimately zeroed in on first to try to get him taken care of. And Briere was just sitting there like, okay, well, you know, guys, I'll take the deal. You just got to offer me one. And they didn't offer him one until, you know, Drury was just about to sign with New York. So it's crazy. It's crazy that everything played out the way it did. And then ultimately, you know, the thing I remember most out of that was Edmonton signing Vanek to the big offer sheet.
Yeah.
And the Sabres being like, well, crud, we can't lose all these guys. We got to match the offer sheet, where, you know, you can do a rewind on everything, sign Drury and Briere, let Vanek walk, I guess. I don't know, but to have all that happen at once, and you know, it really put Darcy Regier under the gun. And they honestly, they never really recovered from it. That's the tough part of it. But you know, but those early days of the business, and you know, I do wonder if maybe, you know, maybe it wasn't Tom Golisano running it or what have you. Maybe things are different. But yeah, hindsight's always 20/20. But man, oh man, that was, you know, how good Briere's career was from that point on, you know, because he still had another 3, 4, 5 really great seasons, especially in Philly. I think everybody knows that, you know, for sure. But, you know, the fact that it just, you know, that it didn't come together and they didn't get it done is just, looking back, it's just so heartbreaking to see it.
I'm getting sad just listening to you talk like this all over again. So
you're
good. Listen, I brought us here. I'm going to move us off it, though, because I'm going to go into a depression if not.
Okay.
Craig Anderson signs yesterday, 1 year deal, $1.5 million. What's your reaction to it? And is it same to you more about their belief in Anderson or their cautiousness with Luukkonen?
I think it's, if I got to choose between those two, I think it's more cautiousness with Luukkonen. I'm gonna hold off on an opinion on it for now, which I know is against everything that's, you know, sports media. But I want to see who the other goalies are that they're going to bring in, because you know because right now there's a lot of, you know, potential doom and gloom coming where it's like, well, geez, they can't run it back with Anderson. They can't, you know, with Anderson and Tokarski again. Geez, they can't do that. But I mean, if you bring in somebody who's going to play, you know, 60 games for you, that's a different story. 60, 65 games. Like, if you bring in a guy that's able to do that for a year, 2 years tops, that really changes the outlook on that, because, Anderson started played 31 games last year. And, you know, the numbers aren't numbers don't jump off the sheet. Yeah, the wins were good. But we know from baseball that you can't always judge by wins. Mm-hmm. It's not always the way to go, but I want to see what Kevin Adams does otherwise, because Anderson is a good guy. He's a good guy in the room. He's a good player. He's a, you know, fierce competitor, may not always show it on his face. He always keeps it pretty cool. But he's a gamer, and that kind of attitude, that kind of player is really good for the group that they've got. That they're building in there. So, you know, I understand wanting to keep him around, to keep him there. And you know what? If Lukanen has a great camp, having Anderson in his ear every day at camp is good. You know, I mean, right now it sure seems like Lukanen's got to start in Rochester, if I had to guess. But things can get weird. Who knows? You know, we all thought Lukanen was going to be the backup last year. And things got a little bit different there. But we'll see what happens. I'm really curious to see who the other goalie is going to be in this tandem, because there's a lot of potential for this team to get a lot better, but the goaltending position is so vital.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite idea for what they do next to Anderson in a tandem?
I don't know, because you have to keep a lot of what's coming down the road in mind. Like, you can't, you know, I'm sure the lessons of what happened in 2015, when Peterson left and when he didn't sign and wound up going to LA, that wasn't due to trading for Robin Lehner and thinking like, well, there's their starter for the next, you know, X number of years. Why am I, you know, they've got Allmark already in the pipeline. Why am I going to jump in there to try to compete for an NHL spot when there might not be one available for years? Like, I get that, you know, in Cal Peterson's respect, I understand that. And I don't think they want to do the same thing here. You can't count on goalies being automatic NHL guys. It's really tough to do that. Just because the step up in competition is so much different from juniors to the pros, from college to the pros, certainly. And, you know, with Levi and Portillo, they're kind of, you know, in the background, in the waiting. If you give away an NHL spot to a guy for the next X number of years, that makes things a little uncomfortable, especially when Lukanen's spot with this team in the future is kind of unknown still. Like, we're assuming he's going to be in the NHL at some point. He's going to be an everyday, at least backup at worst. But we still don't know for sure on him. And if you go stocking up and blocking up spots in the NHL in advance, those guys might not want to come in either, Portillo's obviously a very, you know, very good goalie. Levi's putting up Ryan Miller numbers in college, which says a lot about how good he can be. But I mean, the thing is, you don't know, and planning around that is difficult. So finding somebody that you can get for maybe 2-3 years, I think is a really good way to go. And if you can get somebody, I don't know, like a Jack Campbell or, somebody of that ilk for, you know, 2 or 3 years, I think you can go well with that. Now, would Campbell sign for 3 years? I don't know. Like, depends on what else is on the table out there elsewhere. But I mean, right now it sure seems like, you know, the guys that you're thinking of, maybe like a Holtby, somebody else in that range where it's another veteran, another guy that you can count on if you're just looking to split starts with these guys, with Anderson and whoever, then okay, like, you can deal with that for a year and kind of keep your fingers crossed and hope that it works. And then maybe, you know, if Lukanen pans out, you know, you don't feel bad about bumping one of those guys down out of a spot because your young guys decided to take that, has taken that next step. So, it's a very difficult spot for Adam. Everything Kevin Adams has had since he's been named GM, nothing's been easy. Everything has been some sort of difficult thing that he's had to manage and, you know, all kinds of, you know, juggling knives basically with this job. And this is another one. But this is a big one because this is how you build on the future for this team, because obviously everything looks very exciting right now. And you got to, like, there has to be marked improvement in the standings. But your biggest hole is at goaltending right now. And that's tough to navigate.
Yeah, I think that would be most of it, right? Like, if we're dreaming of the Sabres even being close to a playoff spot, let alone making it, I mean, we're talking about a 20 to 25 point improvement in the standings. And we focus a lot on goaltender because I think most of us believe that that's where you'll make up most of that ground is just upgrading in net. I don't think it would be all of it, though. And what's the rest of it? Is it all to you, you know, Jack Quinn and the J.J. Paterka, Owen Power, like the kids kind of show up and start to kind of fuel that? Or is there something else on the roster you feel like they've got to take care of this that's not goaltender to kind of make that 20-plus point jump?
I think rounding out the defense, having an absolutely solid top four on defense is huge. You know, we saw huge steps from Samuelson. Dahlin in the second half of the season was incredible. If he can play like that for a full season, I mean, that's huge. That is a huge difference. Owen Power for a full year is going to be really interesting to watch. I think it's going to be really exciting. If there's anybody that's going to make a difference for a full season immediately, it's going to be him. I would say that as a guarantee almost next year that Power's presence in that lineup is going to be such a big deal for them because he's able to make, you know, guys like Joakim Haru better or Bryson better or Fitzgerald better. Like those guys around him can be better because of his presence.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're able to add another defenseman in there, that is like a top four capable talent. That you know maybe ideally can play the right side with Power. I think that makes your top four really difficult because Samuelson with Dahlin was a very good pairing at the end of last year, and Power with whoever, you know, if you add that top four, you know, caliber defenseman, then I think that really shores up a lot of things. You need to have, but you know, the key to that though is you need to have your big offensive players from last year have repeat performances. You know, Thompson can't be a one-year wonder, you know, scoring 38. He's got to be able to do it again. You know, you want to have Skinner get back to that 30-goal level. You want to have Quinn be able to make the NHL and jump in and have that kind of impact that he had at Rochester. If Paterka is good to go to make the NHL next year and they're comfortable with having him, you know, maybe third line, maybe second line, whatever it is, if he can jump in and be productive, boy, those make big differences. That means – you don't necessarily have to go crazy in free agency getting forwards. But the thing is, you don't know for sure. Like, you've got a really strong idea that Quinn's going to be in there. You've got a really good feeling about Paterka that he's going to be able to, at some point next season, be able to be there. But you can't hedge all your bets on it and just put all the pressure on those guys right away. That's the biggest thing. Either putting kids in that spot to say, like, all right, man, now it's your turn after giving them, you know, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 NHL games. Already, like, that's really tough to do. And yeah, you still have other stuff to figure out too. You got to figure out, you know, can Mittelstadt stay healthy and build on what he did? Where does Krebs fit in the lineup? Is he center? Is he a winger? Probably a winger. Can Cousins take another step? Like there's a lot of things that are, you know, can they, if they, will they for next season that you got to really hope that those steps are taken, but you know, it's tough. Like it's tough. You got getting a lot of stuff to break right and making it break right is a good part of Don Granato's job, which thankfully he seems like he's very capable of doing.
It's all exciting. I mean, it's been like, what, 12 months? And how far we've come, at least with like the conversation and the psyche of the fan base. I mean, 12 to 14, 15 months ago was so dark and depressing. Just even being able to sit here and have this conversation with you about like, all right, we're actually hopeful. And like, what do they need to do? Like, there are things to work on. Like, I'm just glad that we even can have these conversations about this team right now, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what was a year ago, we were talking, well, maybe not at this time exactly. Maybe it was closer about 5, 6 o'clock in the afternoon. But, you know, they were signing Craig Anderson and Aaron Dell, and you're like, oh boy. I don't know. Yeah. You're looking over the roster and you're just like, oh boy, this is not going to be a very good team. Like, you know, the talk immediately was this is the bottom five team, you know, right away. Just, you know, based on everything, you know, performances beforehand, taking into the effect of what Granato was going to be able to do and figuring out Tage and getting Skinner back on track and, you know, getting a huge year out of Kyle Pozo. Like that's, you know, all that stuff coming out of, I don't want to say totally out of nowhere, but it kind of was.
Yep.
You know, getting those things to come around and then, you know, Dahlin snapping out of, you know, the Ralph Kruger haze in the second half of the year, like all that stuff just coming together. And it was like, oh, all right. There is, we knew there was talent here. It was just a matter of getting it all together at once. And they did.
Yeah. Think of it this way. 15 months ago, I know it's a little more than a year, but 15 months ago, Taylor Hall and Eric Staal were playing on the Sabres in front of no fans. Like, that's how far we've come. We've come a long way. Hey, Joe, always a good chat, man. Follow him on Twitter, at Joe Yurden. Noted Hockey, the Maintenance Day podcast as well. Check it out. It's good stuff with him. Joe, thanks for joining me, man. And maybe we'll talk again before the start of the season.
Yeah, no, it'd be great to do that, Joe. Good talking to you.
Awesome. Thanks. Joe Yurden on the Wester Hotline. We'll take a timeout here. We have got we got to play this Brian Windhorst clip. Did you see it from First Take? Brian Windhorst from ESPN just puts, so this is actually someone else's words, not even mine, so this is not me creating this, but he basically put all the other guys on First Take, and it wasn't like Stephen A. today or like Mike Russo or Chris Russo. He puts them in a windmill.
It's phenomenal. It's 2 minutes of just poetry.
I'm shouting like 30 seconds in, like, tanking! Tanking! It's like I'm watching Wheel of Fortune.
It was unbelievable.
And like the N is missing in tanking. It's like, it's tanking! And everyone's guessing like Qs and Zs. Like, what do you do? It's so annoying to me. But it's also really good. We'll play that. It's related to the NBA, and that'll be a good transition to 12 o'clock. My brother Lou DiBiase is going to join me. NBA free agency started yesterday, but the big news is that Kevin Durant has asked for a trade out of Brooklyn. I mean, major, major tidal wave in the odds for the NBA. The Suns are now the favorites. They haven't even made the trade. At least not yet. I mean, they're the favorite. They're the favorite to win the title just on the idea that they could get Kevin Durant. There's a ton happening with that in the NBA. We'll talk some about that with my brother Lou DiBiase coming up at noon. And I'm still taking nominees, if you want, at Sneaky Joe WGR, Sneaky Joe Sports on Twitter. And we'll have more at 12:30. The greatest Buffalo sports free agent of all time. Who is it? We'll get to that as well as we progress here on the Extra Point Show. Joe DiBiase, Zach Jones on WGR. I'm just letting the John Mayer flow. That's all I'm doing. This was like the song to last year's summer, right?
See, I'm taking it now as the song to my summer now. I've played this so much over the last 2-3 days.
It's a summer hit. It's got like the 80s vibe to it.
I mean, it literally is Africa for Toto.
It is like a, that's such a good call. I never heard that, but it's such a good call.
You hear the beginning, you'll never unlisten to it. You're going to listen to Africa now and be like, oh, man.
I'm listening to it now and thinking it is Africa.
Yeah.
I know it's not. That's good. You ever, like, listen to... You know what I'll do a lot? By the way, Joe DiBiase, Zach Jones, the Extra Point Show. We're going to save that Brian Windhorst Utah Jazz clip. My brother's going to come on in a couple of minutes to talk NBA, so we'll save it for that. Do you ever, like, in the winter when you need a pick-me-up and the weather stinks outside... Do you know what I'll do? Listen to songs that I listen to in the summer.
Absolutely.
Because it takes me back to like the summer vibes, right?
Absolutely.
I always have a hard time finding or remembering all the ones I was listening to, though. So this actually might be a good tip. The songs you're listening to now, whether you're a country guy, rap, or, you know, rock, whatever it is, create a playlist on Spotify or wherever you listen. Create a playlist of your summer songs, because you're going to want that playlist in December when it's 38 degrees out and freezing rain. And it's just gross out. You're going to want it. I'm telling you, you're going to need it on some days. I have to do it myself, though, because I've not taken my own advice, at least yet. 803-0550 is the phone number. Who's the greatest Buffalo sports free agent signing of all time? Also, some NBA talk coming up next with my brother Lou DiBiase. Kevin Durant trade request. Also, a couple of stars in Utah are probably available. And Brian Windhorst will tell you why when we come back here on WGR.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.